Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. And now let's join Rick for the final part of a message called The Prayer of Connection.
Now the Bible says this, God will never go back on His promises. Do you know the greatest cause of resentment and rebellion in children? The number one cause, broken promises. But Dad, you promised. But Mom, you promised. And it causes rebellion and it causes resentment, broken promises. But God keeps His promises. I never go back on my promises. He says, you can count on it. Look at the verse in the back of your outline. My God is changeless in His love for me. He is caring and He is consistent. Now the problem is all of us grew up with inconsistent fathers. I am an inconsistent father. Everybody is inconsistent. And as a result, that creates these insecurities in our lives. And some of you really had to struggle this more than others. Many of you know Pastor Tom's story. He's told it many times about growing up in the home where his father struggled with mental illness, schizophrenia, his entire life, and how he had to learn about that. In fact, Tom, why don't you come up here and tell that story? Everybody say, hi, Tom.
Hi, everybody. I have told you about growing up with a dad who suffered with schizophrenia. And not only was there inconsistency in discipline and things, I just didn't know whether he was going to be connected a lot of times or what was going on. And so if you grew up where you just felt a lot of inconsistency from a father or a lot of struggles, I really understand. I understand some of the struggles you've had to go through or are going through right now in coming to faith in God and in trusting in Him. Now, my dad has come to a newfound faith, and he's beginning to grow in that faith, and that is good news. But the truth of the matter is, the struggles that we went through, I still got to deal with in my life today. I don't know that you ever totally get over them. You struggle with it all your life in some ways. But in struggling with it, you can find that there is a love in God that you can find nowhere else. You don't have to let the struggles that you had with your dad or your mom or somebody else totally color the incredible perfection of God's love for you. And as I said, I've been growing in this all my life. I'll never forget years ago, I told this story about my dad at a church in Chicago, and there was a girl that came up, told her team that was there afterwards about an experience she'd had, a tragic situation where her father had actually killed her mother and the struggle that she'd gone through in her life. And we were talking to her about her faith, and she said something to me that's been an encouragement since then about finding God's love even in the midst of very difficult home situations. She said, you know, I had an earthly father who took away from me something no one deserves to ever have taken. He took her mom. But then she said, you know, one day I discovered that I have a heavenly father who has given to me more than anyone deserves to ever have given. And that has replaced that love. I've seen God's love in a brand new way. God's love has given you His grace, given you His forgiveness, given you His power. God's love for you has given you and I more than we ever deserve to have given. How do you handle the fact that you have an inconsistent parent or even had deep struggles with a parent growing up? You recognize there is a consistency and faithfulness to God's love that you can't find anywhere else. He's a consistent father. There's a third thing about God. When Jesus said, our Father, what kind of a God was He praying to? What kind of a Father? Number three, He is a close Father. He is close. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's not this from a distance God. God is not as far away as the furthest star. He's as close. He's as close as your next heartbeat. He is right there with you every moment. Here's what the Bible says about that. It's the next verse, Acts 17:27. God did this, all the things He's done in history. God did this so that what people would reach out for Him and find Him, since He is not far from each one of us. God is with you right now. He's not a million miles away. Now, it might feel like He's a million miles away. I've felt that. But your feelings and reality don't always match. We all know that's true. And the truth is, God is right here, right now. He's a close Father. And for a lot of us, we struggle with this. We're talking about dealing with struggles from growing up to now. Some of us grew up with absentee dads. Maybe a great dad, but he was just never there. He was always on a business trip or doing something with his buddies, and even when he was at home, he was pretty disconnected from what was going on in the family. And it's pretty easy to take that over into our concept of God and think, well, maybe God's like that. He's not close. He's not really there. The truth of the matter is, God is close. A lot of us struggle with this. Studies show that since the 1970s until now, because of two-parent families and a lot of stresses, two-income families and a lot of stresses on family, that average family has parents spending 22 hours less with kids from now since the 1970s. So a lot of families have struggled with this. And because of this, you can easily have a difficult time understanding God and His closeness to you. And because of this, many of us go into this thing where we begin to try to, just like maybe we did with parents growing up, we begin to try to earn God's love by the spiritual things that we do. You can't earn God's love. It is an incredible gift that God has given to you. You cannot earn it. But we try to do that. I mean, we show up at church and we feel like I'm earning God's love. I mean, here, I'm at church. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm here at church. I should be like dip and dip and like doing avocado things right now. But here I am. I'm at church. God, am I earning your love right now? Or I'm reading Bible verses. Or I memorized a Bible verse this last week. I am earning God's love. You cannot earn God's love. Let me just take a burden off of your life. The most freeing word in the world if you're trying to earn God's love is this. Stop. Just stop. It's like a kid getting presents at Christmas, and after they open every present, they run out and shovel snow for 20 minutes to try to earn each present. And the parents are going, what are you doing? It's a gift. God's love is a gift to us. It grows us, it matures us, but it begins as a gift. You want some good news? Look at the next three statements there in your outline. Here's the encouraging news about God's love for you. Number one, God is never too busy for me. That's how close He is. That's the kind of love that He has. He's never too busy. The Bible says this in Psalm 145, 18. Let's read this verse up on the screen. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Every time you call, He's right there. He's near. It's not like God says, her again? Him again? I mean, like there's a million people in line. Get in line. I mean, what are you doing here again? No, God is near every moment when you call. He is that great that He can be near to every one of us every moment of every day. God thinks about you a lot more than you think about Him. He thought about you before you were born. He thinks about you every moment of every day. And the truth is, sometimes, too many times, I get too busy for God. He never gets too busy for me. That's encouraging. That's how close He is. This is encouraging to me too. God loves to meet my needs. And you might even circle that word loves. He loves to meet my needs. He doesn't just do it because He has to, begrudgingly. He loves to. Just like those of you that are parents, you may look at your life and you feel like I got a lot of struggles, and you see your own selfishness, and you just see some things in your life that are not right, but you still love to meet the needs of your kids. It's one of the things you love to do. You love to see the smile on your face. If we're like that, well, here's what Jesus said about it. It's the next verse in your outline. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? One of the greatest things that you could do this next year is begin to enjoy the fact that God enjoys giving good gifts to you. It's something He loves to do. And here's something else about God's closeness to you. It's the third statement there. He is sympathetic to my hurts. God cares. Some of you went through something this last week, and you need this verse, this next verse. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe your heart was broken last week, or maybe it was a long time ago that it was broken, but you felt it this last week. And this is a reminder of the fact that God is close to you. God understands. He is a close Father. So turn to Him.
The first word that every little baby learns in the Middle East is the word Abba. Abba is the most intimate form of the word for father. It means Abba, Papa, Dada, Abba, Daddy. This is the word in Aramaic that Jesus used when he says we are to call God our Father. Daddy, Abba, Papa. The most intimate form of closeness that Tom was just talking about. Very intimate term. That's how personal God wants you to be with him. Call me Daddy, Abba. You know, now that my kids are having their own kids, they asked me what I wanted to be called. Did I want it to be called grandfather, granddaddy, grandpa? And I said, Papa. Why? Because kids often learn to say it before they even say mama. Papa. It's so easy. It just rolls off the tongue. Now Kate chose Grammy. Shoot, I was 9 before I could pronounce Grammy, you know? But Papa, as a baby, I mean, you know, you're learning that before anything. Papa, Dada, Mama, Abba. That is the term God says you are to call me. Even today, when my kids are grown and they call me up, the sweetest thing that I love to hear is, Hi, Daddy. 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 There's nothing greater than that. It's far better than the Right Reverend Rick Warren. Or Dr. So-and-so. Or a few other things have been called in the last month. Daddy. That'll warm your heart up anywhere. And when my kids were growing up, and they needed money, they would not come to me and say, Oh, most omnipotent progenitor of the Warren clan, thou who dost so sovereignly and beneficently bestow our heavenly allowance upon us, we beseech thee, O great creator, for a bounty of cash that we might abide in the house of the motion picture. If my kids had said that to me, I'd go, huh? And I think God, a lot of times when we pray these fancy prayers, God's going, huh? Who are you talking to, Willis? Me? Moi? God says, you are to address me, Abba, Papa, Daddy. That kind of intimacy is what God wants from you. Not a religion, but a relationship. And God longs for you to have that because he is caring and he is consistent and he is close. But there's one other quality. The Bible tells us in the fatherhood of God, he is a competent father. Now that's really important when you're facing big problems. He is a competent father. He can handle any problem you give him. Nothing is beyond his ability. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is beyond his resources. Nothing is, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the energy. No request is too big or too small. A woman once came to me and she said, Rick, is it really okay for me to talk to God about the small things in my life? I mean, shouldn't I just talk to him about the big problems I have and not talk to him about, like, if my face breaks out, or don't talk to him about the little things? And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, can you imagine any problem that you would have that God would consider big? It's all small. It's all small. There is nothing too big for God. It's all small stuff. You could throw your biggest problem at God and says, that's all you got? Can't you give anything that's a challenge? Got anything a little tougher, a little harder? It's all small stuff to God. Nothing is beyond his ability. He is a competent father. Now that is so important because today we have an epidemic in our nation of incompetent fathers. I don't know if you've noticed, but on television, all dads are doofuses. There are no competent dads on television anymore. It's not Father Knows Best, it's Homer Simpson. dope, you know. It's Family Guy. It's Tim the Tool Time. It's Raymond. It's King of Queens. It's King of the Hill. Today's dad is the butt of the joke. And everybody else is in on the joke except dad. He's the one who doesn't get it. Mom gets it, the kids get it, but dad doesn't get it. That is the kind of father that society is promoting today. It's like the kid I heard this week was at school and he was bragging to one other little kid. He said, "My dad could beat up your dad." And another kid said, "Well, big deal, so could my mom." But nobody can beat up your heavenly father. Nobody can beat him up. Look at this. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, I cut the word impossible out of my dictionary. It's not in God's vocabulary. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, it's amazing to me when my kids were little, what they expected me to fix. I mean, my kids expected me to know all, to fix anything, and to afford everything. And as they grew up, they learned that their father had limited knowledge, limited energy, limited resources, limited skills, limited everything. And when you first started growing up, you were probably thinking, "My daddy can do anything." But as you grew up, you realized he couldn't do a lot. There were a lot of things your dad could not do. But your heavenly father really can do anything. The Bible says this: God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires and thoughts or hopes. He says, you think of your biggest dream. I'm a big dreamer. I've had a lot of big dreams in my life. I've seen God fulfill a lot of big dreams in my life. God says, I don't care how much you dream, Rick, I can still top it. I'm bigger. I can dream bigger than you can dream. So let me ask you very pointedly, what have you been doubting that God could handle in your life? Oh, that's too hard. It's too big. That change is impossible. Yeah, well, listen for snickers from heaven. Yesterday's impossibilities are today's miracles. God specializes in the impossible. Don't ever use that word in reference to God. God can do anything. He is a competent father. Now, because he is caring, and he is consistent, and he is close, and he is competent, and he wants you to call him Abba, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, reverence for your name. When you understand what God is really like, you want to reverence his name. You stop mouthing off God at every other word. You stop using God as a filler in your speech. Oh, my God. God, no. Oh, God. You need to apologize to God for that. You are not reverencing his name. Hallowed be thy name. God's name is not something you just throw around and say, oh, my God. Oh, God, you wouldn't believe this. And you just use it as a filler like, You should be ashamed of yourself. And you should admit it to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm no longer going to do that. I'm going to hallow your name because you are caring and you are close and you're competent and you're consistent. And I'm sorry. Hallowed be your name. Is God everybody's father? No. I'll just tell you right up front. No, he's not. God created everybody. God loves everybody, but he is not everybody's father. You've got to choose to make him your father. I want you to be my father. Everybody's created by God, but not everybody treats him like a father. No, no. And just because you have the ability to create a baby doesn't make you a dad. There are all kinds of men who've, quote, fathered babies they never fathered. There's a whole lot more to fathering than simply birthing a baby. God is the creator of everybody, and God loves everybody, and God wants everybody in his family, but you're not in his family until you choose to be. And that's why God sent Jesus Christ to earth, to make the connection, because God is perfect and we're not. God is holy and we're sinful. And we need a bridge. We need a bridge over troubled waters. We need a go-between. We need a priest. We need a mediator. We need somebody to connect God and man. So God said, I'll have to do it myself. And he came to earth, and the Bible says this on your outline. God is on the one side and all the people are on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. That's the connection. We're connecting to God. To bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. And on the cross, between God and man, Jesus said, because of the cross, I can bring you a cross. I can bring you a cross to God. How do you get in God's family? How do you make God your father? Next verse. We are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. It is only through faith. Friends, there's not a single verse in the Bible that says you connect to God through religion. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says you connect to God by being perfect. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says you connect to God by promising to never sin. It says the only way you become a connected to God, get in his family, he becomes your father, not just your creator, is through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Now let me just close by being very straightforward with you. One of your deepest needs is to have the approval of your father. There is a hole in your soul. And you have that need to have the approval of your father, even if you never knew him. The truth is, you may never get it. It says more about your father than you. Your father may be unable to give it because of the pain in his own life. Your father may have walked out of your life years ago. Maybe your father has already died. And there is that hole in your soul. But there is a father who loves you consistently, compassionately, caringly, competently. And that father, your heavenly father, can give you the acceptance and the approval and the advice and the appreciation that you so crave. Let's bow our heads. Your heavenly Father, unlike your own father, has never missed a moment of your life. Not a single one. He's never missed a moment. He was a witness to every word, every hurt, every fear, every sin, every sorrow. And unlike your human father, he has understood your thoughts completely when you didn't even understand him yourself. And today you can turn to him and he will never leave you. Have you allowed the experiences with your human father to warp your view of your heavenly father? Not consciously, but maybe unconsciously, at a gut, visceral level. I beg you to trade your misconceptions for the truth about God. The truth will set you free. And I'm going to ask every one of you right now to pray this prayer. Dear Father, Abba, Daddy, Papa, I want you to be my heavenly Father, and I want to be your son or daughter. Thank you for sending Jesus to make that connection and to make it possible for me to be a part of your family. I want to believe in him and believe in you. And from this point on, I want to start putting my trust in you. Thank you for your care, your consistency. Thank you for being close, even when I didn't know it. For being competent enough to handle all the problems that I'll face this next year. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray this prayer. Amen.
If
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. Hey, have you ever wondered how to cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind? Then I want to tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of biblical characters that face the very same issues. He offers concise, practical, and eye-opening insights that you can apply right away. You'll discover simple ways to incorporate God's truth into your personal life, your family, and your job, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life filled with purpose and significance. Be sure to request your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today when you give a gift to help take the life-transforming Word of God to the world through Daily Hope. That's our way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.